Putting in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It's good to be back with you this evening. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate your interest in worship and the God of heaven that brings you here tonight. It's good to have my family with us. Grady and Aaron are on their way. Traveling, and they'll be here tomorrow, and appreciate your prayers for them as they're traveling. It's good to hear Eric this morning, a good lesson, one that I needed, and I'm sure all of us are benefited by it. I would have asked Craig if he would preach, but we're going to hear him in a few months. He's going to be with us in September. I think the date that we've set is the 18th. Through the 21st, and we've asked him to come. And I might mention that John Gorman is the one that suggested that we ask Craig to come. And he's going to present lessons and use some of the video work that he has done in the land of Israel and other maybe places. I'm not sure exactly the lessons he'll be presenting, but we're really looking forward to that. And so you'll hear Craig in a few months as he comes to be with us in that series of meetings. We're looking forward to that. The title of the lesson this evening is Why Were Moses and Joshua Successful? Last week in our lesson, we talked about Joseph. It says that he was a successful man, and we talked about why Joseph was successful. We'll talk about why Moses and Joshua were successful. I want to begin by reading Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This is a kind of a lengthy reading, but let me just mention that a transition is taking place here for the children of Israel. Moses is dead, and Joshua is now to lead them. But think about this. Moses has been their leader for 40 years. Many of them had never known any other leader than Moses. And now Moses is gone, and you can imagine the emotions that they may have felt that this leader of theirs is no longer with them. And now they must turn to Joshua and face a very formidable task of entering the promised land, conquering the land. There were enemies in that land. These enemies were very powerful enemies. And how were they going to be successful? How would Joshua be successful in leading them into the promised land and taking that land? But let's begin with verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Notice he says to Joshua here, then you will have good success. I want to talk about what he says here as how he would then have this good success. Not only how Joshua, but how Moses also was a successful man. Well, first of all, what were not the reasons why they were successful? They were successful not because they did not have any weaknesses. Did Moses have weaknesses? Well, we know that he did. You remember in Numbers chapter 20, when they came into the wilderness of Zin, there was no water there. And the people complained. And God told Moses to take his rod to the rock and there speak to the rock and water would come forth. And remember, Moses went to the rock. And rather than speaking to the rock, he said, "Here now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And then he struck the rock twice. Water came forth. Do you remember what the Lord said to him in verse 12? "Because you did not believe me to hallow me or sanctify me in the eyes of the people, then you will not enter this promised land." And he said that to both Moses and Aaron. So Moses was not able to enter the promised land because here he did not believe in God. He did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people. Did Moses have weaknesses? Yes. Did Joshua have weaknesses? You remember in Joshua chapter 9, this is after they had entered the promised land. They'd already taken the city of Jericho. They had taken the city of Ai. They had encamped in Gilgal. The people of Gibeon, you remember, the city of Gibeon, which was a city of the land of Canaan, they made the decision to try to make a covenant with the children of Israel, with Joshua and the children of Israel. And they come to Joshua at their encampment at Gilgal. And they say that we're from a far country. They evidently knew that they were not going to make covenants with anybody in the land of Canaan. And so they said, "We're from a far country." And Joshua said, "How do we know that you're from a far country?" They said, "Well, you see this bread?" They had moldy bread, dry bread. They also had sandals that were patched. They had old garments. They had wineskins that were old and mended. And they said, "When we left, our wineskins were new. The bread was freshly baked. And now it's old and dry because of the traveling. Our garments are old because of the distance that we had to travel." And so they were convinced that Gibeon, that these people were from a far land. And they made a covenant with them and would not kill them. But verse 14 of Joshua 9 says, "But they did not ask counsel of the Lord." And so Joshua failed to seek God's word about this. And they ended up doing wrong. Did Joshua have weaknesses? Yes. Did Moses have weaknesses? Yes. If God can work only through those who have no weaknesses, then no human being meets that qualification. None of us would be successful because all of us have weaknesses in our lives. And it was not because they had some natural charm about them. Did Moses have some natural charm? We call it charisma. And we know people who have a certain charisma. They just walk into a room and everybody's head turns into their direction. They seem to say the right thing just by their personality, their demeanor, that people just look up to them. Some seem to be just born with a charisma. Well, did Moses have this charisma? Well, I don't know exactly. Maybe when he was in Egypt and when he made the decision that God was going to use him to deliver the people out of Egypt, maybe he had some. But I know 40 years later, when God appeared to him at Sinai in the burning bush, when God says, "I'm going to send you to Egypt and to bring my people up out of Egypt," you remember Moses began to give reasons why he shouldn't go. You remember in verse 10, he says, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Here, Moses does not present confidence as one that, "Yes, Lord, you can send me." Usually that's characteristic of someone who has charisma. It's one who has confidence, "Yes, I can do this, and people are going to follow him." Moses doesn't have this here. What about Joshua? Did he have such charisma, such charm that people would follow him? I don't know. It doesn't say. But one thing I do know, that was not the reason that they were successful. That's not given as the reason why Moses and Joshua were successful in accomplishing the work that God had sent them to accomplish. Well, what was it that made them successful? This is it right here. God was with them. That's the main point I want to emphasize in our lesson tonight. You know, we talked about that last week. Why was Joseph successful in the house of Potiphar as a slave? Because God was with him. Why was he successful? How was he successful in prison? How was he able to be exalted to be a leader in Egypt? Well, because God was with him. And that's the very reason why Moses and Joshua were successful, is because God was with them. Remember in Exodus chapter 3 when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, it says, beginning with verse 9, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you." Moses saying, "I'm not the one to do it." God says, "I'll be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you, when you have brought the people of Egypt, people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." This was at Sinai when God appeared unto him. But God is saying to Moses, "I will be with you." You remember here in Joshua chapter 1 that we just read earlier in verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." In verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed." Why? "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." How could he have the courage to do this work that God had sent him to do? Because God had promised that he would be with him. Just don't just read through that. We read it throughout Scripture. This is a highly significant point that I want us to get tonight. If God is with you, you will be able to accomplish whatever he wants you to accomplish. If he's not with you, you will not be successful. It's all because God is with you is the reason that we will be successful. That's the reason that Moses and Joshua were successful. I want to emphasize this as you read through Scripture. Well, first of all, in Joshua 3 and verse 7, this is when they had already come to the Jordan River before about the time that the priests were to put their feet into the brink of the Jordan. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Look with me at some other examples of this. You remember Gideon. Gideon was one of the judges, one of the deliverers. This was a time when the Midianites had oppressed the children of Israel, and God raised up Gideon to deliver them from the Midianites, a very enormous amount of people. And Gideon didn't think that he was qualified to do this. Look at what the Lord says to Gideon in Judges 6, beginning with verse 14. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" And so Gideon goes, and he goes with about 32,000 men. And God says it's too many. He says, all who are fearful go home, and 22,000 goes home, and he's left with 10,000. God says, it's too many. And they dwindle the number down to 300. And with 300 men, Gideon goes and defeats the Midianites. Why? Because God was with him. You remember Jeremiah when God called him to be a prophet. Matter of fact, God had Jeremiah in mind to be a prophet even before Jeremiah was born. Jeremiah words it this way in Jeremiah 1, beginning with verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am youth. Again, here's one who doesn't feel qualified. I can't do this. I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And was Jeremiah successful in his work? Yes. Now, as you read through Jeremiah, you think, well, that's not being very successful because they didn't repent. They persecuted him, put him in a pit, took him to Egypt. But he was successful. He did exactly what the Lord had called upon him to do. Because God was with him and was with him through the persecutions and the trials. You remember David. This was when he was a shepherd boy. His brothers, three of his brothers, were soldiers in the Israelite army. They had come in battle array against the Philistines. And you remember Jesse, their father, had sent David to the encampment of the Israelites to see how his brothers are doing, take food there. And David comes and he sees the challenge of Goliath, the Philistine warrior. You remember how that the Goliath challenged the Israelites to send someone out to fight against him. But no one would go. Here is an uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of the living God. And David hears this and he encourages the soldiers, go, go. No one would go. So David says, I'll go. And King Saul says, you can't go, you're but a youth. And remember, he tells Saul how that God had delivered him from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear who had come to take his lamb. And God delivered him from that. Notice what he says in beginning of verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David knew that the Lord would be with him. And some of my favorite or wonderful statements in the Scriptures, and of course all of the Scriptures are wonderful, are here in 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. Here's a shepherd boy coming out against Goliath with a sling and five stones and a staff, a shepherd's staff, no doubt. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. How did David know that he would be successful against Goliath? Because God was with him. It's not anything in David, not any power that he had. It would be all because of what God was able to do. I think about Zerubbabel and Joshua when they came back from the captivity and they built the foundation of the temple. They began to build the temple. They laid the foundation, but they got resistance and they stopped building. The children of Israel stopped and they began to build their own houses. And for about 15, 16 years, it just laid there. And they didn't continue to build. It was not until Haggai and Zechariah came, prophets of God, and urged them to resume the building of the temple. They had neglected this work. Notice what Haggai says in Haggai, beginning with verse 12 of chapter 1, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke to the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. They then obeyed. They rebuild the temple because the Lord was with them. Chapter 2 and verse 4 says, Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And then the apostles, you remember when Jesus sent them out on the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How were the apostles successful in doing their work? Because the Lord was with them. And by the way, this is to us. You remember, look at what the Lord said. They were to make disciples of all the nations, and then says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so they were to teach those whom they made disciples what the Lord had commanded them. That including going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. That's the responsibility of the Lord's church today, is to carry the gospel to the whole world. How are we going to be successful in doing that? I am with you always. That's it. That's how we can be successful in this work. That's how they were successful. Success in any work that God has called upon us, we see that throughout Scripture, those who were successful because God was with them. You remember the 23rd Psalm, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How is it that we can face death? How is it that we can face death without fear? Because God is with us. That's the reason. The success of one's mission is dependent upon whether God is with him. If God is not with him, he will not be successful. Remember when the children of Israel refused to enter the promised land? There at Kadesh Barnea, according to Numbers chapter 14. This is when Moses sent the children of Israel into the land, that is 12 spies into the land. And they spied out the land. They came back, gave a report. 10 of them gave a bad report of the land. Now, they all reported it, surely a land flowing with milk and honey. They brought the produce, some of the produce back that indicated that it truly was a land that was fruitful. But they said, 10 of them says, but they live in strongholds. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. In our own sight, we're like grasshoppers. They're giants in the land. We can't take this land. And as a result of the report of the 10 spies, they begin to want to go back to Egypt. Matter of fact, they selected, was going to select a leader who would lead them then back into Egypt. We can't go into this land. And as a result, God says, okay, you won't go. For 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness, and all from age 20 and upward are going to die in the wilderness. After they heard that, then they said, we've sinned. We've done wrong. We're ready to go. And Moses says, no. Look at what it says here in Numbers 14, beginning with verse 40. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? For this will not succeed." Notice, this will not succeed. "Do not go up lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you." They went anyway, and they were defeated and beaten back. Throughout Scripture, don't miss this point. You might say, "Lynn, we get it." I don't mean to belabor, but I think we need to get this point, that if we're going to be successful in whatever the Lord calls upon us to do, it's going to be because the Lord is with us. It's not going to be because of any ability I have. It will be because of the Lord being with us. I may have a lot of ability, but if the Lord is not with me, I'm not going to accomplish the work that God has called upon me to do. Well, the next question we need to ask here is, why was God with Moses and Joshua? God was with them, they were successful, but why? Well, they were men who trusted God, who humbly submitted to His commands. They were selfless, totally committed to doing the Lord's will. They basically were the kind of person that Eric talked about this morning, who put God first in their life. That was their primary goal, was to please Him. And that's the reason that God was with them. Remember Moses, was he a man of faith? You remember in Numbers chapter 12, this is when Miriam, his sister, and Aaron, his brother, complained about his authority. They thought that Moses had too much authority. This was a time when Moses had married an Ethiopian woman, and Aaron and Miriam objected to that. They didn't like that. And so they then questioned Moses' authority, challenged his authority. But I want you to notice what it says in verses 2 and 3 of Numbers 12. It says, "So they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also?' And the Lord heard it." Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And then it says in verses 6 through 8, "Then he said, 'God said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?'" Was Moses a faithful servant of God? He was humble. Some translations say meek. The meekest man on the earth. And I think the idea, he had humbled himself before God. Whatever the Lord said, "Lord, that's what I will do." He was faithful in all his house. You remember, with Joshua, this is what we were stating earlier, how that he was one who was to serve the Lord, that God had told him, "If you will keep the law, observe the law, I will be with you." In Joshua chapter 11, verse 15, it says, "As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses." So God commanded Moses. Moses commanded Joshua. Joshua did whatever Moses commanded. He did it. There was nothing he didn't do. That's the kind of man that he was. That's the kind of man that Moses was. Whom is the Lord with? Let's go back to Joshua 1 again. "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When was God with them? When they observed the commandments of the Lord, they were dedicated to keeping His will. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, this is a prophet coming to Asa, the king of Judah. Now, Asa was a good king at the beginning, very good king. And I want you to notice what is stated by a prophet at the beginning here. 2 Chronicles 15, beginning of verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin." Notice, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now we have an example where Asa went out against the Ethiopians. Remember the story, the Ethiopians, there were a million of them. That's what the Bible says. But Asa put his trust in the Lord. He didn't have as many. And he went out to fight against the Ethiopians and defeated them because God was with him. He was faithful and he trusted the Lord. But later it goes on to say that in the 36th year of his reign, that Baasha, the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, came against him. And so what Asa does, he takes gold and silver out of the house of God and purchases the help of Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. Come help me against Baasha. A prophet of God comes to Asa and says, "You didn't put your trust in the Lord." And he says, because you didn't put your trust in the Lord, you're going to have wars now from now on. And what does Asa do? He doesn't repent and say, "Yes, I have sinned and changed." Rather, he puts the prophet in prison. In the 39th year of his reign, he becomes diseased in his feet. And rather than trusting in God, he puts his trust in physicians. And in the 41st year of his reign, 2 years later, he dies. It's so sad that here's a man who was so faithful in putting his trust in the Lord in the beginning of his reign, and probably most of his reign, where he obeyed God, but then toward the end of his reign, he then did not. And God was not with him. And so here at the very beginning, the prophet says to him, "The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Who is God with? He's with those who are with him, those who serve him, those who loves God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember James 4 and verse 8, "Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We pass over this sometime. God will draw near to us. Yes, I can go to God in prayer. He's going to be there. He's always going to listen. No, it's only those who draw near to Him. It's only those who are totally committed to Him are the ones whom God will be with. Let's make some applications of these. What about elders? Whatever success the elders of the church may have in shepherding the flock of God's people, it will not be built on their being without weaknesses. They have weaknesses. It will not be because they have some natural charm or charisma. What is it that will enable them to be successful as elders of the church? It's because God is with them. That's the only reason we're going to be successful as elders, is because God is with us. How do I know God is with me? I know God is with me because when I am with Him, when I am serving Him, He's the top priority in my life. What about deacons? Deacons, how are they going to be successful in their service and the work that they do in a local church? It will not be because they are without faults. It will not be because they are men of great charm or charisma. It will be because God is with them. And God is with them because they are totally committed to Him. What about gospel preachers? Whatever success a gospel preacher may have in his preaching, it will be because God is with him. Not because he doesn't have flaws. It's not going to be because of charisma. Let me ask you, let's say a congregation here is looking for a preacher to come. Who are we going to choose? He's one who's got great ability to speak. He's one who tells some great stories. It's some that can keep our attention. It's the one that's got some charm and some charisma about him that's going to draw the people. Is that the one who would choose to come? No, it's one whom the Lord is with. Is the Lord with him? Is he one that is dedicated to the Lord, to the preaching of the gospel? Matter of fact, charisma and charms can be a detriment. People may be drawn by the charm and not by the Lord and the gospel. What about all of us, all Christians? What will enable us to be successful in our work? You know, we differ in many ways. We have different abilities. Some have more abilities than others. Some have more knowledge of God's Word than others. Some were converted out of the world. Some were converted. Children of Christians. Their parents were Christians. They grew up knowing God's Word. And as they become Christians, they may have more knowledge than someone else here. And there are those who have grown in the Lord, been Christians for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they have a great knowledge of the Bible, and here's a new convert that comes along. He's been a Christian maybe 2 or 3 years, and he doesn't have as much knowledge. Is the Lord going to be with this person because he has more knowledge? He knows more than what this one is? No. Who's God with? This one may have knowledge, but he may not be putting into practice what he knows. He may not be totally committed to doing whatever the Lord has commanded him to do. And here's this one here who is, and he doesn't have as much, but he is living according to where he has attained, what he knows, and he wants to learn more, and he makes the changes where he needs to make changes. The Lord is with him. But he's not with this one. How do I know if the Lord is with me? How do I know if the Lord is with one? If he is totally committed to serving the Lord in all that he does. God is then with him. Only the one whom God is with will be successful in whatever God sends him to do. Is God with you? Is God with me? That's the only way I'm going to be successful. And I challenge you to honestly, and I commend the lesson this morning, to take the things that we learned this morning in the lesson and say, is that me? Is God the priority? It's not going to be based on circumstances in my life and whether or not this is going to be pleasant to me or not. It's going to be based on, is this what the Lord wants me to do? Is this what's going to bring glory to Him? And that will be the basis upon which we make our decisions. Then I'll know. You know, it's similar to the question, how do I know I'm saved? Do you know you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? We know we're saved not because of feelings, not because of circumstances within our lives. We can be deceived by those. We know we're saved because here's what the Lord has commanded, and I have put that into practice in my life. Not that we're earning. I'm talking about doing those things that He's commanded us to do to be saved. I'm genuinely repenting of the things I do that are wrong. I'm not perfect. And so there are times I have to repent, and I do, and I seek God's forgiveness, and I know I'm being forgiven. That's how I know I'm saved. And that's how I know God is with me. And as we live that kind of life, it's a struggle, it's a battle, but as we live that kind of life, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can have peace. We can have hope. Because I know God is with me. And no matter what happens, even if I die, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because God is with me. Appreciate your kind attention. There may be some tonight who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord. If that be the case, we bid you come while together we stand and sing.